weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home. Cambridge
105. The Gadget Guide.
And Rob and Lawrence are here, and today we're talking soundbars and also CES, that big show in the States.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Welcome back, and Happy New Year, I guess.
Happy New Year.
First Gadget Guide of 2016.
Gadget Guide number 81, would you believe?
Oh, we're nearly into three figures.
Yes, CES is always in the first month of January, normally in the first couple of weeks, so we normally do CES at the beginning of the year.
It's good. It keeps journalists busy when there's nothing else to write about.
So we'll give you a few titbits from this year's show, but we'll cover a lot of the stuff in detail in 2 weeks' time.
Exactly. Once the show's over and done with, and everyone's shown off all their shiny toys. First of all,
and you can rule out the ones that are just ridiculous.
Oh, that's most of them, isn't it? First of all, a quick bit of technology news, and that's that Internet Explorer 8, 9, and 10. Are all being discontinued from the 12th of January. So that's basically everything apart from the latest version of Internet Explorer. That's currently version 11.
It's their latest version. I'm a Mac user, so they don't care about Mac users anymore.
No, there's Internet Explorer 11, and there's Microsoft Edge, which is their sort of next generation, not ready for the sort of real use yet. That comes with Windows 10.
They'd like to claim that it is.
But it really isn't. Yes. So there's Edge, but then in the Internet Explorer lineup is IE 11. And basically their policy now is they will only support the latest version. So if you're on one of the old versions, if you're on Windows 7, 8, 8.1 or 10, you can upgrade. In fact, 10, you've probably got IE 11 already.
Yeah, it comes with it.
If you're on Windows XP, we've said it before, we'll say it again, upgrade your version of Windows. Windows XP is not secure anymore.
Yeah. But if you've got that old version of basically, but perhaps an old machine you bought out of retirement just for the kids to use or something like that. This leaves that machine exposed to viruses and attacks.
It really does. And to be honest, I think we are now at the stage where I know it feels awful, and we're in this sort of culture where stuff does get thrown away. If it's running Windows XP, if it can't be upgraded to anything later, really, that machine is not suitable for putting
so
on the internet.
So there are good reasons, and I think maybe it's time for another recycling show, but I think, yes, it's time to explore options on environmentally friendly ways to recycle the hardware, because it is not worth actually doing anything with really old stuff anymore.
Cambridge Computer Recycling, of course, our friends just up Newmarket Road will come and take it away for you. But seriously, you know, with more and more stuff online now, more and more of our personal information online, it's not just a sort of, oh, it's a bit inconvenient, I've got a virus, it's popping up a few adverts. Actually, this is potential for serious consequences on your life.
The dodgy stuff gets into machines these days is via the internet and via social media and people clicking on things that possibly they shouldn't really click on without thinking about it. And yeah, the recommendation, if you can't run a newer version of IE, at least run something like Chrome or Firefox.
That's true.
A bit more secure in their browser design, and they are being updated. Although Chrome has stopped support for XP as well, hasn't it?
Yep, so really get off of Windows XP. Anyway, lighter notes. Quick look at CES, just a few minutes rundown. What's your highlight so far?
Probably all of the TV stuff. Last year it was all 4K. This year it's all 8K. So 4K is now the standard. You walk into any of the major TV retailers, everything's 4K. You can't find generally on all of their high-end stuff anything lower than 4K.
I'm assuming the fuss about 3D is still notable by its absence?
There are a smattering of models with 3D. It's not a big hyped thing anymore. What the TV manufacturers have come up with is a new standard, so Ultra High Def Premium.
Is this the new marketing name for 8K?
No. Actually, includes 4K. So this is the new gold standard for 4K, but includes high dynamic range. So this is the new HDR thing that you've been hearing about as well, which the likes of Netflix, Amazon Instant, Prime Instant are already doing, and YouTube are going to be adding shortly.
And this is really about giving you a wider range of colours. You know, whiter whites, blacker blacks, more depth into the shadows. Yeah, more range as the name suggests.
Pictures will look a lot more natural, and it will be almost like looking out a window when you're looking into your TV.
Fair enough. Talking of 3D, I noticed that Intel were demoing their latest technology, and it's their virtual reality tech. So this is one of those wonderful things that if you watch someone wearing these virtual reality goggles, they look like a complete and utter idiot.
Yes, having done that in the office.
Exactly.
Had colleagues taking pictures of me, yes.
But they were demonstrating some pretty cool stuff with 3D painting. So you wear your 3D goggles, and you can paint, but rather than painting on a 2D canvas, you can actually paint in midair. And watching some of the footage that comes out of that is pretty cool.
I just want to know when that app will be available for Oculus Gear.
That's true.
It's the Samsung platform.
And I guess the one other thing is that the drones are still there in force, and they've grown up a bit.
Drones have grown a lot. Last year at CES, there were three vendors showing off drones, Parrot being a big one, and Parrot showing some really slick demos. This year, 33 vendors was the initial count. It possibly got to higher than that. And we're even getting to the point now of drones that can carry passengers.
Now, hang on. Isn't that kind of against the definition of a drone? Isn't a drone unmanned aircraft? And isn't a drone with a person in it just an aeroplane?
I think they're trying to go for the fact that it is a multi-prop driven, like a helicopter type thing. But it's based on a drone design but can carry the weight of a person.
Does that mean a Chinook is now a drone because it's got two helicopter bits?
I think you need more than two to be a drone.
Okay, fine.
Yes. So yes, that's and the other thing in the audio one, which will keep the likes of Greg Butler and even possibly Neil excited, is a lot of hype around suddenly turntables are back.
Oh, vinyl is the new cool.
And Panasonic launched a new Technics.
Yes, I did see this. Based on their old classic one, isn't it?
Based on the old classic, and it is very nice.
I think I've still got their old classic up in the loft. In fact, two of them somewhere.
They're worth something, Julie.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and the new one, I think their signature edition, is somewhere around £1,500, if I remember correctly. So it's not an entry-level offering either.
Yes. Anyway, our main topic is going to be soundbars, and of course soundbars have been featuring at CES as well.
Yep, very much the new cool thing. And Dolby, very well-known players in the
Dolby
cinematic.
Surround and exactly. Dolby Digital and Dolby Plus THX and Dolby...
Go on, what have they got now?
Atmos.
Isn't that thing in a Doctor Who episode where the cars started squirting out smoke?
Trying to think. So Dolby Atmos is the new immersive sound multi-channel thing for your... And it includes a bit of stuff around video as well as audio, so it includes stuff on getting the picture to look as good as the sound sounds as a whole package. And quite a lot of soundbar manufacturers now going for the Atmos standard as their design.
Very nice. Well, we'll have a full coverage of soundbars in just a few minutes.
We're talking soundbars.
We are.
That was almost planned.
I said in course.
A special echo in the room.
So I suppose the thing is, we should probably go back and say, what is a soundbar and why would you want one?
Okay, so this really comes from the fact that in the olden days, TVs were kind of about as deep as they were wide.
And it had speakers in it.
And they had speakers, and there was room to put good speakers in, because you actually needed quite a lot of space for the TV tube. And that kind of left plenty of gaps to squeeze some fairly chunky speakers in. With modern TVs, maybe even going down to the kind of less than an inch thick, a centimetre or two thick. And thinner. There just isn't space to get any serious audio kit in there.
A lot of the newer stuff, the manufacturers aren't even including speakers.
Yeah, or if there is, it's sort of something token, which is okay for spoken word, but go and watch an action film on there and you certainly aren't going to feel the explosions. Yeah. More on that in a moment. So soundbars is the idea that you want something better than the TV's got, but you don't want to go full on audiophile and sort of have your perfectly positioned speakers sort of stood 2 foot out from the wall, exactly 8 foot apart.
Because not everybody wants that anyway, do they?
Exactly.
And also not everyone's got the room space to do it.
Exactly. So it's adding something that which provides you a much better sound experience, but at the same time not adding too much beyond the width and the height and the a little bit more on the depth of the TV.
Yes, so, I mean, how a lot of them work is they've all got more than just two speakers in them. And generally you want at least three speakers to give you a centre channel for your dialogue and a left and right. But most of them have got, anywhere up to a dozen speakers and more. And some of them are starting to call it sound projection.
And it is. It's a very clever set of technologies, because some of them will sort of, if you imagine you're in a square room and your TV's at the front, they will, by firing sound off to the far left and far right, they'll bounce off the walls, and it'll actually sound a little bit like it's coming from behind you, which means you get all of the benefits of surround sound without having to run wires around the room to behind your sofa and squeeze some speakers in there. And if maybe you've got two sofas at 90 degrees, how do you set up your back speakers? It gets rid of a lot of that.
So just backing up onto surround sound, or 5.1 as we see it generally sold, is five speakers plus a subwoofer.
Yes.
That's your .1. Five speakers being a left, a right, front and back, and a center channel. So that's five speakers to surround you. You can go 7.1, which just adds another two in the middle, left and right, and you can even go up to now. The standard supports 22.1, but
yeah, that's
where
when
you're
going to
put all of those, I don't know.
I think that's when you start adding the sort of the low and the high speakers, so you can have the helicopter flying over your head.
Yes.
But yeah, for most people, realistically, 5.1 is a good thing to aim for.
So, a lot of broadcasters are using Dolby almost the standard, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
You'll find that if you're receiving your TV signal via a digital stream, which
everyone
should now be, and your box actually supports decoding the digital audio to an HDMI or an optical output, you'll be able to then separate out those channels and play them into a multi-channel system. What your sound bars do is they tend to have an HDMI port, which is this nice universal. It's like USB for video and TV and sound, but they're then able to separate the sound inside them. The higher-end stuff, if we look at something like the Yamaha, the YSP5600, which is their high-end stuff, you're talking about a £1,600 soundbar, but it includes everything that you'd normally find in an AV amplifier. So you plug all your HDMI into this and your TV.
And, of course, when you say you plug your HDMI in, that's a lot...
Your Skybox, your Virgin Box, your DVD Blu-ray player and whatnot.
And there's a lot less cables involved here. So
one cable.
In your standard setup, you've got your cable from your TV out to your amp. You've got a cable out to each speaker. You've got all of your audio cables, your mains cables, all of that. This is really just taking it down. In the simplest case, there's one cable from your TV to your soundbar. And some power.
And one from each of your devices into your soundbar. Now, it's a 44-speaker soundbar.
That should keep you busy.
Okay, so you are getting something for your money.
How big is this thing?
It's generally the width of a 40-odd-inch TV.
Yeah, and it's...
It's a significant bit of engineering. And if you are interested in soundbars, it is one of the ones to go and look at, just to go, wow. Okay, and you can go all the way down to sort of things that start at £150. They're not going to sound the same.
No, and it's worth saying here, for maybe excluding the very high end and the very low end, a soundbar probably isn't going to beat a well set up set of separate speakers.
Correct.
If you get your five speakers perfectly properly set up around your room, your subwoofer, your decent audio amp, that is going to sound better. But for many people, that's either not an option or it's not what they want in their living room.
Or it's just a hassle.
Because things like Sonos can be divided up and used as sort of back speakers,
can't
they?
So you've got a Sonos soundbar yourself, Julian.
I have.
But you haven't added...
Others are available.
You haven't added surround speakers.
No.
So with the Sonos system, you can add the Play One devices as surround speakers, and then you just need to get power to them so they can act as wireless rear speakers.
So you're not trailing the cables around the place?
No. You don't have to get audio cables from the front to the back, which is what most people are generally put off by with getting rear sound speakers, is how do I run the cables behind me and not end up tripping over them in the lounge or whatever.
And I think that's worth picking up on the wireless speakers, because the Sonos ones aren't the only ones that do that.
The new Samsung that's been shown at CES, their one which includes Atmos, has satellite speakers that are wireless as an option.
And similarly, the Panasonic, the ALL 70T, one of their sort of, I guess, mid-range, it comes in at about sort of £475. That's a good example of one which is a soundbar plus a subwoofer. So the subwoofer is important because that's what gives you the low-frequency stuff.
Yes.
The soundbar will do a reasonable job, but it doesn't give you that sort of the rumble effect. It won't give you the bass if you're watching music.
So, I mean, that Yamaha top-end one, there is one without a subwoofer and there's one with a subwoofer, and all the reviewers are saying go for the one with the subwoofer
because
it gives you that extra bass, the room shaking
capability. And certainly if you're a fan of your films then do look for the subwoofer. But the
Renegade Rock on Cambridge 105,
very true. The Panasonic one, for example, the subwoofer is wireless.
Yes.
And that means that, you know, you can tuck that away maybe in the corner of a room.
Well, a subwoofer doesn't need to be anywhere directional.
Exactly. That can be pretty much anywhere in the room, out of the way visually. So that these manufacturers, all of them, are thinking about the visual impact in your normal living room.
Yes.
Rather than the sort of dedicated home cinema room.
Some of them are designed to go underneath, you know, the 30 to 40 inch TV and literally sit, the TV sits on top of them. Bose have got a couple of good ones. But what I'd recommend is go along and visit some of the retailers. I mean, the likes of Currys have got 84 soundbars listed on their website. Sevenoaks have got 41. They're a slightly higher end range. You know, John Lewis have got a whole lot. It's worth going along to a retailer, seeing what they've got, listening to them. If they've got a sound room, you can hear them actually in operation. But the other thing is look at what you've got already. If you've got a Panasonic TV, I seriously recommend going and look at the Panasonic soundbar. Same if you've got a Sony TV, look at the Sony soundbar. Look at what is available from your TV's manufacturer first, because it's going to interface better with your TV to start with. And most people want the soundbar for the TV.
I will just add, by the way, that there's one slight variation on this theme, which is a company called Q Acoustics, which do something that isn't quite a soundbar, but it's aimed in the same area. And that's basically a little bracket that goes on the back of your TV and shoves two speakers out the side. So this isn't a surround sound one. It's literally two speakers plus a subwoofer. And I think the subwoofer actually hides behind the television. But the speakers actually sit out the side. So if you're maybe don't have a lot of room above and below the TV, mm-hmm. you can just put these. And it also does a fairly good job of the centre channel, because the speakers are to the sides of the TV.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who've mounted their TVs on the wall can't put a soundbar under it very easily.
Exactly. So this just mounts on the back of the TV, and a lot of TVs now use the VESA standard mount. So you can just add this to the back, and it just adds a couple of much more reasonable speakers to the sides of the TV. And all of these soundbars as well will cope with any domestic listening level very easily. It's going to sound much better if you run them within their capabilities rather than trying to push a TV speaker to its limit.
Make sure if you're buying something that requires an HDMI connection and you have a 4K TV that the soundbar supports 4K.
That is true, yes. Yeah. Although some of the TVs now, you can sort of plug all your devices into the TV and then take another HDMI out of the TV back into the sound
one
card.
One slight problem with that, and this is the one thing that will confound most people, is you've got to sort out delay then.
Yes.
Because you can end up with a delay between the sound and this picture, which is a bit nasty.
Can that vary at all?
Yes.
I wonder, because I've noticed this on mine. I thought I'd got it right, and then I just tuned nothing. I was watching the news, something as simple as that, and the newsreader was out of sync quite a bit, yet that I turned on the next day and it was fine. So I'm not quite sure.
It can vary by some of the TV stations are still having problems with if they're sending a multi-channel sound, getting the sync right, and I've noticed that.
So it's possible a broadcaster might say which one it was, could have had an aberration on one evening. So
your check is always to play something like a Blu-ray or a DVD,
right,
which should be in sync. But sync is an issue, hence sticking to the same manufacturer, you shouldn't have issues, and they will support you then getting it right.
I think that's worth actually mentioning with a lot of these multimedia devices, is if you're, for example, playing video on a tablet PC and sending the audio over Wi-Fi or over Bluetooth or over Apple TV or Sonos or whatever, you will introduce delay in the audio, which means that the sound will come after the video that you're watching on the device's screen itself.
Yes. Yes. And lastly, a lot of them are now including casting capabilities where you can then send your audio, like you said, from your tablet or from your phone with various apps. Some of them support all the standard apps, so you can just send your Spotify signal straight to your soundbar and so on.
That's interesting. Well, one thing you mentioned at the top about, I think you, Lawrence, said about TV manufacturers barely including a speaker at all. You know, is this the way it's going to be, perhaps?
It looks like it is going to be the way, because a lot of the TV manufacturers have now got soundbars and sound options and AV audio kit to go with their TVs, and they're generally recommending, you bought this TV, here's the audio options.
And I'd argue that's a good thing.
I think so too.
Let the TV concentrate on video.
It's also dropped the price of the TVs, you know. 4K used to be, a year ago it was horrendous, nothing under £1,500. Now you can get reasonable stuff in the £600 to £700 bracket.
But that's because they're missing stuff out to get their price point down, though, aren't they?
That's fine. Miss the stuff that no one cares about.
Like a sound system.
Yeah, yeah. Go and get buy your TV for the TV picture, buy your soundbar for the audio, or your speakers
for
the audio.
Whatever sound system you want to go for. Go and listen is the main thing.
Yep, we'll be back in a couple of weeks talking about all of the stuff that's been the new toys that's been launched at Consumer Electronics Show.